We're almost there. We've heard it so many times, the end is near. The end is near. But I chose for my meditation today a title that says, the beginning is here. The beginning is here. Today is a new beginning. For us in the church, it is the beginning of the season of Advent. It is the beginning also of a new year as we celebrate the 59th anniversary of the independence of Barbados. We remember that beginning when the independence happened. It is a new beginning for Heidi as she starts her life with Christ. A new beginning. Today, we're all part of God's new creation. Baptism is always a great occasion to remind us of God's new creation. Everyone in Christ is a new creation. So we begin this first season of the Christian year, Advent, a season of anticipation, preparation, waiting, expecting in hope and patience. The word Advent, as you know, comes from the Latin word Adventus, which means coming. In the season with this name, we keep in mind both Advents, the advent of Christ as a baby in the manger, and the second coming of Christ, the one yet to come. In Syria, where I grew up, Advent was centered on church celebrations, whether choir recitals, which we attended in every single church in town as a family, or cantatas, worship services in my church, or Christmas plays here and there. It was also the bazaar time. My family reminds me of Richard and Judy's family. The bazaar time, as my mom and my dad were the treasurer of the Women League, their time before Christmas was very busy volunteering, preparing lists for those who families in need who need to be helped before Christmas, preparing the bazaar to collect funds for helping the families and for families who needed assistance during the holidays. There was the Christmas lunch, of course, as a family, but it was not a big deal. Not all the family gathered because we stayed home to welcome visitors after the lunch. And the visitors used to come for a week, one after another. The families visit each other. And of course, there were the special cookies to give to the visitors. These were always part of the celebration. We didn't have brandy cake, though. But there was brandy on the side. There was no wrapping of gifts. No magical nights before Christmas or anything of the sort. No holiday rush of shopping or bigger and better surprise gifts. Kids were lucky if they got a loot bag of candy at school. And that's about it. Certainly no Black Fridays, no Cyber Mondays. By the way, I got an email yesterday said that Saturday is a Friday now. Did you know that? I didn't. It is easy to forget the coming of Christ in the middle of that busy hustle and bustle of the holidays. But when we reach out to care for other people in need, for the hungry, for the homeless, for the victims of injuries and injustices and oppression, for those who suffer from sickness or sadness, we remember that we ourselves need salvation, need a Savior. Advent is not a nostalgic feeling as we prepare holiday gifts and celebrations for Jesus and we sing, O come, or O little town of Bethlehem. Advent is not a time to remember God's birth 2,000 years plus ago. It is a time to remember God's new creation here and now all around us. You've heard it said, the end is near. And some people think of Matthew 24 chapter that we read a passage from now, which is called the Olivet Discourse. They think of it as a prediction of the end of the world. It is a prophecy, not about the hour and the time, because Jesus himself said the hour and the time are only known to God himself. No one knows the hour or the time. But it is a prophecy about the destruction of the temple, which took place 40 years after Jesus said these words, in the year 70 AD. On the contrary, this passage is a wake-up call prophecy, a wake-up call to us, to the reality that many people do not understand, that rather than the end is near, the beginning is actually here. Jesus will come at the end of times, which no one knows when. But God's new creation has happened. It is already here among us. And you and I are part of it. God's new creation was launched on that first Christmas day and was fulfilled in Christ's resurrection. And since then, we are part of this new creation project. The Gospels never tell us that the life does not matter on this earth, and that we should just live our lives waiting for that day when he will come and snatch us up to heaven to give us a better life. Jesus comes and saves us not from the world, but from our sins. Does not rapture us to a different heaven, because salvation is not from the world, but from our sins. The New Testament is clear that heaven is here, and God's kingdom is among us on this earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that what we say in the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We are invited, though, to engage in this work of God's new creation, of new heaven and new earth. We are invited to be God's new creation and live our lives, as we heard in the Romans reading that Susan read, to live our lives as people of light, people of hope, people of peace, people of joy, and people of love. That's why we cannot celebrate Christmas fully separate from the celebration of Easter. Advent is a transformative journey. It invites us to be part of a revolutionary story against empire. And by empire, I mean all what we're seeing happening around us in the world. While our modern world races through December towards consumption and productivity, Advent calls us to a different time, a different zone, a counter-imperial waiting, a subversive hope, a radical reimagining of how God enters this world of ours. Advent is a prophetic word against the powers that be, both in their ancient context under the Roman occupation in Jesus' time, but also here and now, for our contemporary world, shaped by capitalism, materialism, and nationalism. Advent marks the beginning of the church year, an invitation to step out of the empire time, out of the zone, out of this world, and into God's time, God's world, God's zone, where the last is the first, the mighty are scattered, and the child born in occupied territory in Palestine changes everything. Advent invites us into an alternative calendar, alternative rhythm. While our modern world races through December, we are invited into patience and waiting in patience, waiting in hope, quietness, focusing. Advent, in a way, strips away the sentimentality empire uses to domesticate Christmas and reconnects us with the raw, dangerous hope of God's inbreaking kingdom, here and now. Matthew, in this chapter, exhorts his readers to stay awake, to be prepared, with anticipation for Jesus' return, for the Son of Man will come at an unexpected hour, he says. But how are we to wait? How can we always be prepared? When you've got at least some idea of the day and the hour of something, you watch for it, you wait for it. But when you have no idea, you find it difficult to watch. Once I heard a saying that stuck with me about being always prepared. It says, if we live each day as a beginning, our ending will be just fine. If we live each day as a beginning, our ending will be just fine. It will take care of itself. The most important thing to remember is this: to be ready at any moment to give up what you are for what you might become. To give up what you are for what you might become. So what does it mean for us to keep watch, as our Lord says we must? Well, there's one little line in the verses that I added at the end of the reading today, verses 45 to 51, that struck me in Matthew's writing. It's the phrase in verse 45 in particular about the head servant, the servant that Jesus left, the master left in charge, giving the other servants their food at the proper time. The master left, leaving that servant in charge, and his work, his job was to give the food in time. Who then, it says in verse 45, who then is the faithful and wise slave whom his master has put in charge of his household to give the other slaves their allowance of food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master will find at work when he arrives. Truly I tell you, he will put that one in charge of all his possessions. In other words, the good servant is commended and praised and honored for making dinner. Just for making dinner on time. It doesn't say that what is commendable about this servant is that he set up a huge telescope on a high mountaintop to keep watching and scanning the heavens for the first sign of the coming of the master. Rather, he is praised for preparing dinner. It doesn't say that what is praised is that the servant prepared a banquet for the return of the master. It simply says that what he made and what made him a good servant, that he made dinner and served it at the usual time. In other words, he did what he was asked to do in the typical days of Noah. People were eating and drinking. Can it be possible that being faithful today for us, keeping watch today, means just being faithful in the daily routine of our lives, in our everyday tasks, demonstrating holy watchfulness for the return of our master? And being an office manager who's faithful, a committed teacher who does the work as they are asked to do with commitment and devotion, a faithful husband or wife, a caring parent, a careful school bus driver, an ethical lawyer, can these be a real sign that we are waiting in hope and expectation for Jesus' second coming? Yes, they are. It's difficult to wait in hope after 2,000 years have passed. That's a long time to be waiting in hope. But sometimes it's enough to demonstrate watchfulness through no more than never letting hope get extinguished in our hearts and allowing that hope to shape us every single day. And so every single day we begin again and again and again. The beginning is here. Thanks be to God. Amen.